tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into Friday, January 9th, 2026 edition, Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a great show lined up for you today. Lots of interviews, lots of conversations. We have a history lesson in the second hour with Pastor Chatfield, the American cowboy era. He'll be talking about that point in time in our U.S. history. Also, we've got a exciting announcement to make at the end of the show. Going to have to hold off from telling you until the end of the third hour, but we're pretty excited and we're looking forward to it. One of the things that I did want to mention first thing out of the gate this morning, we are already taking ticket sales for the 7th annual Fun Shoot Pig Roast in Antrim County. It's going to be Saturday, July 18th. Gates will open at 12 noon. The ranges will all be open. If you want to bring your deer rifles and sight those in, you can do that on the 100-yard range. We have a pin shoot set up. We will have a pin shoot set up. And also firearm training for the young people. Prices are $40 for adults, $20 for teenagers, and 12 and under are free. And we invite the kids to come, bring an adult with you. Make sure that the kids have an adult to go out to the firearm safety range. They'll be instructed about firearm safety, and then they will shoot both a .22 handgun as well as a .22 rifle. When they successfully pass the firearm training, they'll put their name on a piece of paper, put it into a hat, and at the end of the event, we'll be drawing for two, not one, but two long rifles. Thanks to John Palmer, Palmer Farms in Onaway, the pig farmer. He's gone out and gotten a really nice .22 long rifle. And Nick Wallace from J2 Construction. He's in the process of purchasing a 20-gauge shotgun from Tom and Karen Curtis there in Petoskey. And these will be gifts to two lucky kids that come and get the training. Just text me Fun Shoot or Pig Roast, and I'll send you the link to the website, acconservatives.org. You can read the story. Click on the yellow donate button. Our PayPal account will open, not yours. Fill in the information. If you're coming not just by yourself but with a few others, make sure you put a note in the box to seller, the names of everybody that'll be attending. That way, we'll be able to put you on the spreadsheet, and the security folks will be able to check you in with your ID at the gate. When you make your donation, you'll get an email from our PayPal account. That will be your receipt for your ticket donation. You can either print out that email or just take a picture of it on your phone, and you'll be good to go. So we're excited. We're already selling tickets. Officer Rick was the first one to purchase tickets. Nick Wallace was number two. So we're excited. We've got lots of things happening this summer. Again, keep also 2 weeks earlier, 4th of July, America 250, the big party at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell, Michigan, right off of M-115 in Clare County. working on all the details of the bands, everybody that will be coming to that event. And as soon as we have that all put together, we will be making that announcement as well. Got a great show, like I said, history lesson in the second hour. If you have any comments, text me into the show, 231-360-5140. Save me in your phone as Trucker Randy, 97.7. Greatly appreciate if you do that. If you're a first-time texter to the show, text me your first name in the city where you listen, and I'll appreciate that and put you in my phone as well. We're going to take a short break. Justin Michael, running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District in the next segment. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experienced and I know how to get things done. My promise to you is conservative leadership that you can trust. This message has been paid for by Monica Yatuma for Michigan.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number one. Joining us on the line right now is Justin Michael. He's a candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Northern Michigan. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Randy. How you doing?
Good, man. Are you feeling a little bit better yet today?
Yeah. We're up and operational. We've been on the campaign trail the last couple of days. It's been awesome to get back and speak to people and get back out doing what I love to do, and that's spend time in the first district figuring out ways to make our lives better.
Amen. Well, one of the things that it was funny after you were on last Friday, all the reports, of course, came out on Monday, and you were pretty much dead accurate as far as the number of cases and this thing getting, you know, kind of serious, especially up here in the first district. And one of the professors at the University of Michigan, medical professor, talked about people needing to get out there and make sure you get this flu vaccine. And I'm like, okay, according to Justin and the other folks I've spoken with, this vaccine, this current flu shot that's out there, doesn't even address this variant, this mutation. And but yet they're still pushing the flu shots. But, you know, I guess people have to do what they got to do. And I'm just glad you're recovering. One of the things I did want to talk to you about, too, though, somewhat related, is the major changes about vaccinations. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. kind of knocking a few off the list as far as mandatory, and wanting parents to basically discuss it with their doctors and decide what they want to do for their young children. Have you done any research or looked at any of that? Because there could be some pending legislation to go along with those recommendations. I didn't know if you had a chance to look at that.
Yeah, so vaccines have always been – I was a big proponent of the COVID vaccine. I was very active on social media during that time, doing a lot of research. And as a research scholar, you hear things and then you're like, is that really true? And then you start diving in. You know, first it was the mask mandates, and then it was the, you know, Operation Warp Speed for vaccinations. And I'm always hesitant about vaccinations, especially ones that deal with the flu virus, because my family has had a history of issues and complications with flu vaccinations. My father got viral myocarditis, which caused his heart to enlarge twice its size, and he ended up going on the heart transplant list and eventually died as a result of the flu virus. I had a niece that spent 30 days in the hospital in a medical-induced coma as a complication from the flu virus. So you look at those things a little bit differently when they directly impact your family. And so that kind of started my quest to understand vaccines. But when you start getting into vaccines like the COVID vaccination, mRNA, things like that, you also start looking at the other vaccines. And then you start looking at how those vaccines have affected communities, and especially children who typically are forced into situations where they can't get education or can't go to school because vaccines are mandated.
Right.
And then there's this structure that is given to you by your pediatricians that are like, we need to vaccinate you at this month and this month and this month and this month. And so when you start going down these pathways of vaccinations, you start to see trends. And unfortunately, some of those trends are really negative and costly to your health. So the benefits don't outweigh the costs. You know, autism spiked tremendously as a direct correlation or result of some of these vaccines. Now, I know people who may be listening in the medical profession may argue against that, and I understand that, but there is a lot of documented stories and situations that specifically highlight my kid went in normal, my kid came out, you know, with forms of autism or injuries to their brains or cognitive function decline. It changed them. So you start to look at these and go down, and there's great documentaries out there, and there's a lot of research that you can read on those subjects. But when you start comparing the United States and their rates of autism and other factors versus other countries that don't vaccinate as much, and these aren't underdeveloped nations. We're talking developed nations like the United States. The European Union is a good example of that. You know, similar economy, similar quality of life. So in similar education levels. So when you're looking at those two comparisons, the European Union doesn't require a fraction of the vaccines. And you see that their obesity rate is lower. You see that their autism rate's lower. You know, they seem to be more healthy and functional. And so you're starting to look at these comparisons, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, what's different? Right?
Right,
we can argue that
right.
the food plays a huge factor in that, right? Nutrition is much different in Europe than it is in the United States. We're changing that, hopefully.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
Make America healthy again. You know, we're trying to get in there and start getting rid of some of those. But those are big industries. Those are big lobbies. They put a lot of money into Washington, D.C. you know, because the fuel source, your food source, definitely, you know, starts the process of either being healthy or being unhealthy. And then the pharmaceutical companies step in. So, you know, you see this vicious cycle of unhealthiness in America. And I hope that we can get legislation passed that's going to allow us to focus on being healthier. And I think vaccines is a great start, because when you look at the vaccine mandates for children versus other countries seem to be doing a lot better and they're a lot healthier long term and have better cognitive function than we do in the United States. And there's a lot of research that supports and suggests, doesn't necessarily mean that it's 100% accurate, nothing is, but that vaccines play a huge portion of that. And I think, unfortunately, for the health system in America, we lost a lot of trust during COVID. There was a lot of misinformation about get your vaccine and really pushing it down people's throats. And now people are, I haven't met anyone who hasn't taken the COVID vaccination that's like, man, I wish I would have taken that.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at that trust that gets eroded in the healthcare system. And that's a problem, because that's an institutional pillar. You want people to be able to trust the hospitals and the doctors, because you go to them when you feel weak or when you feel sick or when you're having issues. It's like the police. You never call the police because it's a sunny day and you're like, I want to have coffee and donuts. You
right.
call the police when it's your worst day. You don't just go to the hospital to hang out for coffee hour.
Yeah.
You know, well, one of the coffee would probably cost you $3,000 if you were getting it from the hospital. But two,
right.
you just don't go. Right. You know, so you're looking at it from a factor that you go to seek help because you need help. Other than that, you avoid it at all costs. So, you know, I think that people have this lack of trust, and the vaccines are a perfect example of that. And mainly because people feel, and there is evidence to support, that vaccines are actually really harmful.
Right. Well, so, one of the things in that story I was covering with the University of Michigan medical professor was she was complaining that so far in 2025 and just here a couple days in January, the reports numbers they had, only 24% of our state population has gotten the flu shot, the flu vaccine. And she's claiming that this is one of the reasons why the spike in this new flu variant is happening in Michigan, is because nobody basically, like you say, trusts the vaccines, and they're not getting them, and therefore they're getting sick. And so I'm like, well, we've got to figure out a compromise between something that we know affects these absolute variants, these mutations. If you come up with that one and people want to take that vaccine, well, that's one thing. But to take a vaccine that doesn't even address it, well, then I guess you have to make that decision for yourself.
Right. So the generic, we'll call them the generic strands, right? H1N1, H3N2, those are typically covered. They do kind of like a trifecta in the vaccine shots that they put out every year. They're like, we think it's going to be a strong year for these, so we're just going to put these. It's, you know, but when those strands mutate into other strands, right, for whatever natural reasons,
sure.
because they get stronger as they get out in the air and they start changing, that's when you have issues. Now, some people swear by the flu vaccine. I get my flu vaccine every year. Well, that's maybe that works for you. Maybe it weakens your symptoms. But a lot of people, like you said, are really concerned. One, I don't think it's going to be beneficial. Two, I don't trust it. And whenever
right.
you lose trust in anything, whether it's the healthcare system or the government itself, you start to lose participation. You see that even in voting.
Right.
Right? People are like, well, my vote doesn't count, or I don't trust the votes, or I don't, so I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
And so exactly. anytime you lose trust, at least in a significant level, participation goes down. And I think that's what we're experiencing right now. A lot of and there are vulnerable populations, let's be fair, right? The older you mm-hmm. get, the tougher it is for your immune system to recover. Those people may be more susceptible to it. Maybe getting the flu vaccine for them is beneficial. I can't give medical advice. I'm not a medical doctor. But what I can say is do what's best for you. If you feel like the provision, the good thing is the death toll isn't astronomical. You know, that's people are recovering from it. It sucks.
Sure.
Let's be fair. It's not fun. But right? People are, and as this virus gets exposed more, we start to get herd immunity, it'll start to reduce. Now, they keep talking about a second spike that's going to happen maybe in March.
Yeah.
Which, you know, weather changes, people get out more, you know, those viruses maybe can live a little bit longer than they would in certain conditions. It's going to change. But we're resilient people in northern Michigan. So we're used to handling in tough and extreme situations. So I think that, you know, right now we've handled it. Obviously, Michigan is one of, if not the leading flu state in the nation. At least last week it was. I mean, when you looked at the maps, it was
Monday's,
bad.
Yeah, Monday's report confirmed that. Absolutely.
Right. And that, and again, you know, when we talked last week, I was doing research to try to understand it. I was getting out and talking to the medical professionals because I was experiencing it and I was living it. And I want to try to give listeners and people that I'm talking to the best advice that I can give or the knowledge that I have gathered from talking to individuals who are in it. And they were saying those things, and sure enough, it comes out. The report kind of supports that. It's not to say that I'm forthcoming in it, but when I see trends and stuff, I try to get into them and understand them. So when people like you ask me questions like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
I can be prepared for a response. Not to say I'm an expert. I never want to claim to be an expert on anything. I try to go to the experts, get as much information as possible, and then regurgitate that information to people so I can try to help them. And the flu, like I said, I lived through it. You know, it's lingering. My mom's still dealing with a cough. Sometimes you know, get a little nasally and stuff as you kind of get the mucus and stuff out of your system. But most medical professionals that I talk to is 2 to 3 weeks to get back to 100%, about a week and a half to get back to functioning. So, you know, it's going to take its toll, and we're going to have to fight it out. We just hope it works out.
Amen. Hey, I want to get your thought real quick. Your position on Donald Trump going in and getting Maduro out of Venezuela, is that a good thing?
That's a twofold thing. It's a good thing for American interests in Central and South America. You know, Venezuela's on the northern part of South America. You know, we've had a lot of skirmishes. They've been getting pretty bold in some of their rhetoric. Maduro's no different than that, but he was very boisterous. Obviously, he felt that he had the might of China and Russia as a supporting factor, so he thought he was untouchable. Obviously, our U.S. military servicemen and women, you know, the most elite of special operations, people that I've worked with directly in special operations, not on those missions, but in that realm and specter and sphere of that, those types of operations, an amazing military mission. And I say that from a technical standpoint and an operational standpoint.
Yeah.
To go into a country to detain a high-value target like that under duress and fire and security experts in that country, the military, not losing a soldier, not losing an aircraft.
Yep.
That's an amazing operation.
Yes, it was.
I'm saying that from someone who's been a warfighter, who's gone on direct action missions, and who's captured high value targets. That's an amazing feat.
Yes, because it was.
Rare is it that any mission goes right. But my concern, so the flip side of this,
real quick,
is precedent. Does that give China the authority to say, hey, let's go into Taiwan and do the same thing? Does that give Russia the opportunity to say, hey, let's go into Ukraine and do the same thing? Does it set a precedent that could be potentially dangerous? And I don't know what that answer is. But I'm happy that we secured Venezuela because it could potentially be a threat for us.
All right. Justin Michael for Congress.com. You can check him out on his website if you'd like to donate or get more information. It's all there. Justin, greatly appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day. Take care of yourself. Be safe, right?
Thank you. Same to you.
Yep.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.